Monster Man, Episode 440, Niyogi and Nightmare.
Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games.
In today's episode, we'll be continuing our journey through Monstrous Manual, the 1993 supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 2nd Edition. But before we do that, it's time to thank some Patreon backers. Yes, these are people who've gone to patreon.com/monsterman, and they have pledged as little as $1 per month to support the show. Now, today's backers are not new Patreon backers, but existing Patreon backers who have increased their pledge level. So thank you very much, Richard August and Nathan Mahan. It really makes me happy that you're enjoying the show enough to want to support it. Thanks a lot. It's always nice to get a new monster here in Monsters Manual, a book that has a lot of repeated monsters. And that's what we've got with the Niyogi. I think this is their first appearance, or certainly their first appearance in a monster book that we've done. They are villains from the Spelljammer setting. Now, one of the reasons that I found this entry interesting was that I actually used a reskinned Niyogi in my 5th edition game not that long ago. I needed a creepy psychic monster. And there I got the impression that the Niyogi were very sort of bug-like, you know, they're kind of insectoid aliens. But here they're much weirder looking. They're a cross between a wolf spider and a moray eel. Unfortunately, this is a rare instance of Tony DiTerlizzi kind of, it's not that DiTerlizzi's illustration is bad, I mean it's a Tony DiTerlizzi illustration, it's good, but it doesn't convey the feeling, at least to me, that the entry wants you to have about the Niyogi. It's not frightening. The Niyogi are supposed to be frightening. DiTerlizzi has interpreted the description so literally that the monster just looks kind of whimsical and even kind of likable because of the way in which the closed mouth of a moray eel almost has a sort of smiling position. So he's literally drawn it as, you know, an eel with spider legs, kind of. And I think that's a shame because, like, if you imagine the predatory menace of those two animals, I do think that that's what was intended to be communicated in the description of the Niyogi. As we can see from the fact that they are real sons of guns, the description calls them hateful and xenophobic. It calls them hated in another section. And their whole society is built around slavery. Even, like, most Niyogi are enslaved. But even enslaved Niyogi can further own slaves. Niyogi are not very physically powerful, and so one of their most prized types of slaves are Umber Hulks, who play an important role in Niyogi society, and they even kind of like ride around on them, right? So the sort of, they're like almost tools or vehicles for the Niyogi. And this has the benefit for the DM of giving Umber Hulks something to do rather than wander around a mine. One of the nice things about this entry is that, like many other Monstrous Manual entries, it contains a bunch of stuff about the Niyogi reproductive cycle, but the Niyogi reproductive cycle is actually relevant to the creature, unlike the majority of cases. Presumably because these are creatures that were designed during that this is a natural history textbook about an imaginary world kind of phase of the game, and therefore that sort of thing was thought about in creating them, rather than being kind of added to the creature as an afterthought, which is more often the case. So the Niyogi reproductive cycle is to do with age. As they grow old, they sort of begin to lose their faculties. When they do, the other Niyogi will poison them. But this, well, I was going to say this doesn't kill them. It does eventually kill them. But they go through an intermediary stage where they become a larger and more powerful but less intelligent form of the Niyogi, which has its own stat block here. And then they will eventually sort of like burst and new Niyogi will emerge from their body. So the Niyogi reproductive cycle is based around murdering people, or Niyogi anyway, based on their perceived weakness, which really encapsulates sort of their whole deal. That's the kind of people they are. In addition to the hierarchical tyranny of Niyogi society, there's also a rogue faction, the Reavers, and one of the things that I really like about this entry is that the Reavers are still a bunch of dirtbags. Like, they're the same backstabbing, slave-taking scum that Niyogi in general are. They just don't want to be pushed around by these other backstabbing, slave-taking scum anymore. But they're not, like, ideologically opposed to the brutal hierarchy of Neo-Gi society, they just don't like their place in that hierarchy. Which, unfortunately, is the problem that a lot of people have with brutal hierarchies. So overall, I think that the Neo-Gi really work. I do think that they need a post-Deterlitzy redesign, and indeed they do get one. They are often cited as kind of the, you know, the major villains of the Spelljammer setting, or at least the major villains that are unique to Spelljammer. So with the fact that the return of Spelljammer has been announced for 5th edition, I'm sure that we'll be seeing more of them in the future. And they are a pretty good villain for that setting. I guess I would say that the only thing about them is that they are a little bit similar to Illithids. And this is accentuated, in fact, by the idea that the Illithids are almost the only species that will have anything to do with the Neo-Gi. Most other creatures in the Spelljammer setting hate and fear them, with good reason. I don't think that it's necessarily wrong for a setting like Spelljammer, where you are presumably the ragtag, plucky crew of some kind of space tramp freighter, you know, zipping from place to place, having adventures in different, what are they called in Spelljammer, spheres. I think there's nothing wrong with that kind of setting, having multiple sets of tyrannical would-be world dominators. And I think eventually the Neo-Gi did distinguish themselves enough. So, a minor quibble. Finally, we got the Nightmare. It's an evil horse, although they are at pains to point out in this entry the Nightmares are not horses per se. They are, you know, demons or whatever, and they just sort of look a bit like horses because they are steeds. I've talked about the, like, folkloric origins of the Nightmare, of the idea of the Mara as an evil spirit, of the idea of, like, the sleep paralysis. You can listen to all that back in Season 1, I think. The Nightmares are fine. The illustration is fine. There is a little bit of additional detail in this entry. For example, we get some information on how to summon a Nightmare, which they bring their own atmosphere with them, by which I mean, like, you have to summon, like, a fog cloud, and then the Nightmare will emerge dramatically from the fog, you know, as they do. You also have to feed them fake oats made from platinum, which, look, I don't care what you say. That's silly, and it's a shame to work so hard to spookify the entry, and then when they arrive, you feed them artificial metal oats. Also, the Nightmares serve as the messengers for something called the Gloom Meet, which is a sort of hell convention that happens once every 10 years, where the inhabitants of the evil underworld, you know, meet to form their plans for the domination of all sentient beings. And, like, that's fine, but it is called the Gloom Meet, and I just don't know about that. Like, it's not called the Infernal Convocation or whatever. It's called the Gloom Meet, which, you know, at best sounds like a goth coffee get-together once every 2 weeks, and at worst sounds like a convention for people who are big fans of the game Gloom. It's just, it doesn't even sound good. Gloom Meet. Two M's in a row like that is tough to pull off. Oh well, they can't all be winners. I mean, there's nothing wrong with the idea that there's like an annual gathering of the demons, but you need to play that up like it's the most dangerous thing ever, right? You're going to have to infiltrate it in demon disguise because you need to go assassinate some archfiend, and the only time that you can predict where he'll be is that he's going to go to Gloom Meet because everybody goes to Gloom Meet. That's terrific, but it's got to be called something different. Infiltrating the, like, Devil National Convention is pretty good, though, and there would be lots of fun different kind of side missions you could do there. Nightmares are fine in general. Bad guys need cool mounts, too, but there's some details in this that kind of show what I was talking about, where bad guys need cool mounts, too, is a complete sentence. You know what I mean? Like, the bad guy rides an evil horse with flaming hooves and whatever. That did not need any further explanation. People understood why it was there. It was there because of Frank Frazetta. All right, that's about all the monsters that we have time for today. In the middle of the week, Patreon subscribers at the $2 level and higher are going to get an all-new episode of Patron Deities, in which I'm going to talk about the Menehune, the little people of Hawaiian folklore. And at the end of the week, we'll be having a special episode all about the fourth world of Jack Kirby, the King of Comics. So I hope that you will join me then for Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening.
If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.